We're going to thank some people tonight, but we understand that all glory and praise goes to the Lord. But it's right and proper that the Bible would instruct us to honor those to whom honor is due. And so that's part of God's word too. And I was thinking about this because I went and seen Jerry Purcell about a week or so ago, a little over a week and a half ago. And on the way there, the Lord stirred my heart and told me, you know, why don't we just ask and see whether or not it's possible for him to attend our 49th anniversary. I didn't know whether he could or if we could work it out. But look what the Lord did. And moved in his heart that it was the right thing. And then Jerry Jr., you know, we're grandpas now. We were, what happened to us? We were a bunch of burr-headed kids running around the neighborhood. And Jim, I should call him now, you know. Yeah, you're going to be forever, Jimmy, probably in my... And then he brought his grandson, Lincoln. And, of course, you've met Jerry's wife. Jerry and his wife was here a few months back, and they came to surprise us, and we surprised them because me and Cheryl were out of town. And so, but anyway, thank you for giving us a second chance, amen. But these are the two rascals that we got in trouble with running around the neighborhood. And trouble back in those days wasn't much trouble. We were talking out on the porch, you know. If you did something wrong, you know, your mom got 7 phone calls before you got back to the house. And any mom in the neighborhood could snatch you up and whip you if she had a mind to. And you go home and complain to mom, you just get another whooping there. So, you know, you just took your licks and went on, you know. But it was a wonderful way to grow up. You know, I hurt my heart for our young people that they, you know, that they don't know the America that I grew up in. And my dad hurt in his heart when he watched us grow up that we didn't know the America he grew up in. If you haven't noticed, things haven't gotten better. But despite that, the Lord still works. And the Lord still is saving souls. And God is still on the throne. And none of that's changed. And we still have our marching orders. And so we're going to try to continue to go forward till Jesus comes. I'm going to ask Jerry Purcell. And this, for some of you who may not know the story, is the man, him and his wife, Jerry and Ruth Ann. Ruth Ann's in heaven now. But they're the young couple then that showed interest in another young couple that had moved across the road from them when God providentially, and I believe it was the very hand of God that moved my family to where we moved and allowed us to buy that little mini farm and placed us right beside someone who would look across the street and, you know what, see a family that needed Jesus Christ and befriended us. You know, one of the things I've said often is, you know, yes, they invited us to church, and yes, they were a good witness and a good testimony, but they were also just good neighbors. And, you know, folks, we as Christians have a lot of instruction in the book of Proverbs concerning the type of neighbors we need to be. And maybe if we were better neighbors, we could do a better job of winning our neighbors to Christ. But they were a prototype of what the book of Proverbs teaches. And I mean, if there was anything we needed, you know what? All we had to do was ask. And if they could help us, they always did. And that's how neighbors used to be. And I laugh because I can remember mom handing me a measuring cup and saying, go across and knock on Ruth Ann's door and see if we can get a half cup of sugar. Because you know what? We didn't run to Walmart 15 times a week, you know. We went once a week. Whatever you ran out of, you borrowed from the neighbor. And then it wouldn't be a week or two later that one of the boys would be knocking our door. Mom's baking and she needs a half a stick of butter. And mom would say, well, here's a whole one. Just take it home with you. And that's how neighbors were. But they saw that there was something lacking in our lives. And that my mom and dad did not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so very faithfully they began to befriend us and invite us and pray for us until finally my mom and dad followed them to the Rock Run Baptist Church. And there for the first time sat under the preaching of the gospel. And it was in that church that my mom and dad received Jesus Christ as their Savior. It was in that church that Lori, my older sister, received Christ, where my older brother Bob received Christ, where I received Christ. You know, folks, when they looked across the street, they had no idea that God would call Robert Ross, Bob Ross, into the gospel ministry, you know, 4 years after he got saved. They had no idea that one of those little boys runner across out there would be called to preach and one day pastor a church. They had no idea that their oldest, the oldest boy, would spend his life investing in junior age boys and taking kids to camp and working hard and supporting missions. And had no idea that little girl across the street would grow up and be a Sunday school teacher and a piano player and sing in church. And you had no idea that the youngest brother would end up in jail one day. I'm kidding. That was a joke, okay? No, well, I haven't checked today, but last I know. But David, who'd grow up and be a successful businessman and you know what, serve the Lord and give, I mean this, more money than most anybody understands to missions and to support God's work. And they didn't see that. You know what they saw? A family that needed Jesus. And you know what? They saw a mess over there. But you know what? God can take messes and turn them into miracles. And so I'm going to ask him to give a testimony and take a few minutes. And I think I'll walk the microphone back to you and have you talk to our folks a little bit. I don't know. I really am nervous right now about this. He knows more stories about me than I'm not sure I want told. But I would love for you to hear from my neighbor. Wow, let me edit it before it's printed, if you would. This is Jerry Purcell, and I want you to hear from him for just a few minutes. All right. You hold on to that, and I'll kind of hold the mic.
Okay. Well, here we go. Well, started when I got out of the Army, built my home here at Bee Ridge, and wasn't long till Bob and Donna moved in, and I noticed they had four little hoodlums. And where do y'all come from, you know? And anyway, it wasn't long, we found out. And they got with our kids, and man, oh, man. They was running up and down the hollers and getting in trouble and doing everything you think of. And that was the beginning. But anyway, praise God for Brother Bob and Sister Donna and for Jerry and his good wife and this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful body of Christ. I thank God for you. I never realized, like you said, we just planted a couple seeds, and God done the work.
Amen.
Never dreamed this would happen. But praise God. We're looking for a better future. We got to get more people saved and born again. We need a witness. We need to plant more seeds. We need to pass out more tracts.
Come on.
I want to tell you about how I got involved in the tract ministry. I heard a man one day on the radio. And he said, I almost took my life. I'd hooked up the hose to the car, and I took nothing to live for. I was going to take my life. And he said, I got in the car, and I thought before I started, I've got to get my mom a note. He got in the glove apartment, and he couldn't find a note, but he found God's plan of salvation.
Amen.
He read that, and down on his knees, and when he got up, he was called to preach, and he's preaching the gospel today.
Amen.
He come that close to dying. I wonder how long that track had been in that glove apartment. Don't make any difference, you know? It's still good. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You young people up there, got something to say to you. Stay in the castle.
Amen.
He brought me up that series of books, and wow, I sat there crying. It's surreal. They are so real, you know? Stay in the Bible. Listen to your parents. Get all the understanding, knowledge, wisdom. Read the book of Proverbs. Stay with it, Lord, in the church. And God will bless you, and we'll see greater things in the future than we see now.
Amen.
And if I don't see you again, I'll see you up above. We'll have more time to talk.
Amen.
Okay? We'll never run out. So God bless you all.
Amen.
I love you all in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hey, we don't mind shouting around here at all. I'm going to have you hold this for me, Brother Jeff. I got something that I want to present to you from our church, and I'll read it. It says, presented to Jerry Purcell in appreciation for you and your wife's part in bringing our founding pastor, Pastor Robert Ross, and his family to Christ, presented on the 49th anniversary of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Jasonville, Indiana, March 15, 2022. We want you to just place this somewhere in your home where you can look at it from time to time and know that we love you and how much we appreciate what you did. looking across the street and caring for a lost family, not giving up. Even when mom slammed the door in your face that time, not giving up, and just keep coming back and loving us until we eventually got us to church. And I want to give this to you in appreciation from our church, and God bless you. I love you.
I don't really feel worthy of this, but thank you so much. God bless y'all.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
All righty. Wow. Praise the Lord. Well, what a blessing. What a testimony. And I don't think he wanted to use the mic, but I wanted to have it on. I wanted to have it recorded. I want to be able to go back and listen to that testimony from time to time and be edified and blessed. We are making a lot of preparation. A lot of work already is going into the planning of our 50th anniversary, a year from this weekend. And we've got 17 young people out in full-time Christian service and preaching and out in the ministry. And all 17 of them young people, they're scattered all the way from Rhode Island to California to Montana to you name it. They're all over the place. But they're all going to come back. We want to set a big tent out here in the yard. And we're going to have a week-long tent revival. And just go back to the old paths, the old-time religion. Folks, listen to me. This new stuff, it's up to you. You can have it. Just give me the old hymns of the faith. Give me the old King James Holy Bible. Give me salvation by grace through faith. And you know, the old-timers, listen, they forgot more than this new generation knows. And that's what we want to do, is just stay true to the old paths. And so we've got some plans, and we're certainly going to spend some time on our 50th anniversary doing some recognizing of folks that we ought to recognize. You know, one of the thoughts I had when I was leaving your house, and I had said this to him, I told him, I said, you know, when you witnessed to my mom and dad, you didn't know that my dad would be a preacher and that he would plant and found the Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I shared with him how we've been able to start three more churches in southern Indiana since then, one in Bloomfield, one in Princeton, and one down in Jasper. And I thought, you know what, that fruit goes to his account. But then I got to thinking as I was leaving, well, you know what, this thing goes on back. And who won Jerry Purcell to the Lord? And by the way, who won that person to the Lord? And if we want to trace it all the way back, isn't it exciting that it all goes to Jesus, who won those first group of men and women to the Lord and then turned them loose on the world and said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And he commissioned them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And they obeyed and reached people, who obeyed and reached people, who obeyed and reached people. And now here we are all the way down. And what are we doing? What are we, come on, church, what are we supposed to do? Don't waste all of that labor and all of that effort. Somebody reached you for Christ. Who are you going to reach for Christ? And that's one of the main focuses of our church, and we want to keep that focus on that. I've got two more plaques I want to present. Like I said, on our 50th anniversary, we'll recognize more people. But I prayed about it, and this last 2 weeks, God put two people on my heart that I think represent just kind of what Blessed Hope's about, and I want to say a thank you to. And the first one is Tom Walton. Brother Tom came to me the other day and said, you know, he feels like it's time. And he led the singing here. He's been involved in song leading and music director for 35 years of his life, okay? And he came to me and said, I think it's time to hand the baton off. You understand that he suffered a stroke. This is not something he wanted to do, but this is something he must do at this point. And I thought to myself how wonderful it must be for you and Stephanie to sit out there and know that, you know what, maybe I can't do it the way I used to do it, and maybe it's time to step aside, but I raised a son that's ready to step into my shoes, and the man that you heard leading singing is his son, Nathan Walton. And I want to present this to Brother Tom, and both of the folks that I present these to would rather me not do this. That makes me want to do it even more, because I do appreciate the fact that Brother Tom has never been one that sought the spotlight. He's never been one that has asked for recognition. Matter of fact, he'll be one of the first ones that'll try to shy away and run from it. But what he has done in his faithfulness needs to be recognized, and you young people need to pay attention to it, because one of these days it's going to be your turn. And this Christian life thing isn't supposed to be for 3 years or 5 years or 10 years and then you quit, go back into the world. It's supposed to be for your entire life. And faithfulness needs to be measured in decades, not in days, in decades. And so I have a plaque that I want to present to Brother Tom. It says, presented to Tom Walton in appreciation of 35 years of faithful service as congregational song leader and music director from your grateful friends, Blessed Oak Baptist Church, Jasonville, Indiana, May 15th, 2022. Let's give Brother Tom a hand. We had something happen in the life of one of our other faithful servants around here this year that has caused her to not to be able to continue in what she loves to do. And young people, again, I guess maybe the Lord wanted me to recognize these two folks because of the fact that, you know what, there's going to be a day when this comes to all of us. This is the way it is. The Bible talks about that he went the way of all men. And we're not the first to tread this path. We won't be the last. And this decade will be a decade of transition. That's why I had the meeting with the men here a while back. You're seeing it. And it won't just be in the pulpit. It'll be in the pew. It'll be in the Sunday school rooms. It has to be in the bus ministry. There's always going to be a generation that's faithful. But comes to a point where, because of the circumstances of their life, you know what, things that are going on in their family or their health, they just cannot continue to do what they've always been able to do. But Brother Tom, in my heart, represented somebody that was seen every single Sunday just because of the position that he had. It happened to be a stage position. And so people recognized that and knew it and saw it. But we have a dear faithful sister, Sheila Muma, that for 25 years was a Sunday school helper. Not a Sunday school teacher, a Sunday school helper. And for 25 years, you know what? She went down with Miss Carla and she just said, I'm going to help in the kindergarten class. And she came to me because of Brother Frank's health and because of things, other things. And again, folks, it's the way of all of us. There's going to be a day that all of us are going to have to hand the baton to someone else. And I loved what she said when she came to me, by the way, in tears. She didn't want to have to give this up, but she has to. But she came to me and she said, Pastor, I don't care who you get to replace me as long as they love the children. And I was so touched by that. Because you know what she's done? She's faithfully loved the children. And so I want to give this plaque to her, presented to Sheila Muma in appreciation of 25 years of faithful service as a Sunday school helper in the kindergarten class from your grateful friends at Blessed Oak Baptist Church, Jasonville, Indiana. I won't make you come to me, I'll come to you. I'm going to have you go to Psalm 78, and we're going to read out of this psalm. What a beautiful psalm. I think you'll find it an appropriate psalm. We're going to let the Bible and its precepts and principles teach us some things tonight as we look back and then look ahead at what the Lord intends to do in the future. And I love that Brother Purcell, he challenged the young people, because even though we're going to look back tonight at what the Lord has done in the past 49 years, I'm excited to be able to tell you that the Lord isn't done. And you need to hear of the mighty works of the Lord, but you also need to understand that there's still mighty works that need to be accomplished for the Lord. And so if you'll stand, if you're able, Psalm 78, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1, Psalm 78 and verse number 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Heavenly Father, bless the preaching of your word these next few moments, Lord. May this psalm become very precious to us. May it be tied forever to this moment in the history of our church's life. And may it be a motivation for us to go forward to accomplish even greater things, Lord, through your name and with your power, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. As I read this psalm, I noticed that there were five generations that are represented in this psalm. The psalmist spoke of what he had heard from the fathers, our fathers, in verse number 3. Then he also uses the pronouns in verse number 3, we and us, talking about his generation. So there was our fathers, and then there was our generation. And then in verse number 4, we see mentioned the generation to come, and that is his children. And then if you'll notice also down in verse number 6, it says that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. Wait a minute, that's another generation. So he said, I want to tell you that there's some things my fathers told me that my generation needed. And by the way, he uses the phrase there, I'm not going to hide those things from my children. And you know what? Children, when you have children, I don't want you to hide those things from your children. And he goes on and finishes that verse. Even the children which should be born, who should, and this is the name of the message, the next three words, arise and declare. Arise and declare them to their children. And so he said, there's something our fathers gave us. And our generation has tried to cherish that. But you know what? There's a generation that's coming up and we need to pass that to them. And then there's a generation that will be born that's not yet here. And you know what? When they are given to us as a gift and a treasure, let's make sure we don't hide what our fathers and our grandfathers gave to us. And you know what? The children that have not yet been born. By the way, notice it said children yet unborn. Hey, you know what? That's not a fetus. That's a child. Excuse me. That's King James Holy Bible right there. But he said, these children that have not yet been born, when they grow up and God blesses them with children, you know what? They should arise and declare it to their children. And I couldn't help but think, what a blessing and what a pattern for us today. It ought to be the heart's desire of every aged Christian in this room that their children walk in the precepts and principles of the Word of God, to love God and honor God and follow His will for their life. And not only that we begin to pray for our grandchildren, some that have been born into our church, and for some of you grandchildren that have not been born yet, you've not held, you've not seen, but if the Lord tarries, they're coming. And you know what? What we do here, folks, didn't start with us, and it won't end with us. Every once in a while, I have to remind a narcissistic generation that God was just fine before we got here and he'll be just fine after we're gone. It is an honor and privilege to be used of God and to serve our generation by the will of God. It's an honor and a privilege to be a part of something that's been going on that we can trace all the way back to the shores of the Galilee. And so Jesus started this segment. He's handed it down. And you know what? There was a group of men that didn't hide it from their fathers. And that group's
Many of them refused to hide it from their children. And you know what? Then that group refused to hide it from their children. And it's been passed down and people have been witnessing and doing what the Purcells did for us. That's been going on generation after generation, all through time. Christians looking around, loving lost people, witnessing to lost people, passing out gospel tracts, preaching the gospel, being a witness, being a good neighbor. You know why? Because the things that we've been handed should not be hidden. Verse number 4, look at that. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come what? 3 things: the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. And I think we ought to just tonight make a determination. There's 3 things we're not going to get quiet about and we're not going to hide. We will not withhold our praises to the Lord. You know what, folks? When it's time to sing, let's sing praises to the Lord. And I know Brother Jerry says he's a shouter. Well, I've got a little bit of that in me too. And you know what? When it's time to shout, let's shout for the Lord. Come on, when it's time for us to have a chance to speak up, let's testify for the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We're not going to be quiet. Government, you can pass all the laws you want to, all the dictates you want to. You can try to trample underfoot the freedoms that our forefathers, by the way, handed down to us and that we want to hand down to our children. But we've got something that's more powerful than any law that any man could possibly pass. We've got this Bible right here that have commanded us not to be quiet about the Lord. So we will not withhold our praises of the Lord. We will not hide the strength of our Lord. What does that mean? That means that we're going to tell our children something. Listen, you're going to find out that as you go through life, your strength is limited. But God's strength is infinite. And there's going to be times when you're going to come to the end of yourself. And that's a good place to get. Because at the end of yourself is the beginning of God Almighty. And you know what? We might look at something and say, it's impossible. And God laughs at the idea of the impossible. So young people, listen to me. As God challenges you and tests you and calls you and sometimes asks you to do things that in your heart you think, there's no way I could do it. Remember that your grandpa, he had to tap into the strength that only comes through the Lord. And your daddy had to tap into the strength that only comes from the Lord. And if you're going to accomplish things that are eternal, you're not going to do it in the power of your flesh. You're going to have to get a hold of God and his power. And you know what? You're going to have to rely on his strength. And through his strength, you can do mighty things. Number 3, we will not hide the wonderful works of our Lord. We're not going to hide them. So what are we going to do in the next few years, next several months as we build up to our 50th anniversary? We're going to talk about the wonderful works of the Lord. You know why? I want the children to hear about them. Why? Because they have children yet unborn that needs to hear about them. So we will not hide the works of our Lord. And then I find this little phrase in verse number 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. Who should, and I love this phrase grabbed a hold of me, who should arise and declare them to their children. You know, I like that. He doesn't say, you know what, every once in a while you should whisper it to them at the dining room table. He doesn't say every once in a while when you're in the truck, you should just kind of say, now this kind of between us. I love that. He said, listen, when it comes time to talk about the praises of the Lord and to talk about the strength of the Lord and to talk about the wonderful works of the Lord, stand up and do it. Out loud declare to your children and your grandchildren. And if God blesses you, and he has many people in this room, you have great grandchildren who need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, need to hear about the wonderful works and all the things that God's done for you and your generation. They need you to arise and declare it unto them. What do I want the next generation to know? What do I want you to declare to your children? What do I want you to tell your grandchildren? What do I want your grandchildren to one day tell to their unborn children? Look at verse 7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandment. Preachers love verses like this because it's a 3-point outline, and there it is. What is it that we're supposed to arise and declare? that they may set their hope in God. You can place your faith and your hope in God. That's what I want the children to hear. That's what I want the teenagers to hear. You can place your faith and your hope, that supreme confidence in God, and He will never fail you and He will never let you down. Number two, it says, and forget not the works of God. You should never forget the works of God. Listen, don't roll your eyes when grandpa and grandma start telling you stories. Set up and pay attention, especially if they're stories about the Lord. Don't just sit there thinking, I wish I was off this couch and outside playing instead of sitting here listening to grandma and grandpa talk about Jesus. No, listen, one of these days they're going to be gone and you're not going to be able to go back and ask them those stories. And you know what? When they're telling you what God has done in their life and how Christ changed their life and all of the answers to prayer that God's done and the way that God has helped use them in their life, you sit there and soak it up and remember that God has done great works, but He also wants to do great works in your life. Do not forget the works that God has already performed. But young people, do not forget the works that God still wants to perform. You know, I don't want this celebration and this looking back over the last year to be all about what God has already done, even though it's good for us to look back and see what God's already done. I believe that the best days are ahead for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I mean that. I believe that God has some wonderful things on the horizon. I'm watching families that have come into the church and young couples scattered all over this church, and we've been on a 12, 13 year baby boom, and it don't seem like it's slowing down anytime fast. Praise the Lord for that. And you know what? God's entrusted. Think about this. This is a humbling thing. He's entrusted us with the lives of these children, these young people. You know what our job is? Not to be quiet about what God's done. Not to withhold our praises of the Lord or hide the stories of the strength of our Lord or to hide the wonderful works of our Lord. Say, preacher, why would you bring a pulpit out? And why do we keep a pulpit like this around here? Well, my dad, after he was called to preach, was given his very first pastorate. And it was in a small country church. It was in a liberal church. It was in a church that didn't really want to grow and didn't want anything changed and didn't have a heart for the community and wasn't reaching out and trying to reach people for Christ. But boy, they made a mistake. They called Robert Ross to be the pastor. And you know what? He was all about the gospel and he was all about getting people saved and he was all about gospel tracts. Probably learned that from Jerry Purcell. He was all about witnessing to his neighbor. I wonder where he learned that from. He was all about telling other people what God had done in his life to change the direction of his life. And boy, because of that, he started seeing people saved all over the place. And boy, that little church started growing and growing. And I mean, doubling and tripling. But the status quo members weren't happy. You know, that little group that was always their church. There's all kinds of churches in southern Indiana held hostage by two or three families that are diotrephes that think the church belongs to them and forgot it belongs to God. And all of a sudden they're saying things like, hey, people are coming in that we don't even know and some of them are sitting in my pew. Well, my goodness sakes, I didn't know there was a name on the end of the pew, you know. Now I know church people do tend to settle in our places, amen. But if I'm a church member and I walk in, and there's a brand new family who's come to the church for the first time and they're sitting in my pew, I'm praising the Lord. I'm not going and complaining to the preacher about it. Boy, they're mumbling and grumbling and causing problems and strife and division. And they kept coming, you know, have one of those famous business meetings where they're going to get rid of the pastor and all of this. And when the heat was getting turned up, my dad could feel the heat. But he also knew that God had called him to preach the Bible, that the gospel of Jesus Christ was the supreme message that needed to be preached to every generation, to every community, and he was committed to do it. And he kept saying this from the pulpit of that little church, the day that I'm not allowed to preach the word of God from this pulpit, I'll go find a tree stump somewhere and I'll preach from that tree stump. And you know what? He kept saying it and they kept getting more mad and recruiting more people that were members of the church but had never come to the church, you know. And one of the great graces, one of the great blessings might be if a lot of church constitutions were just taken out in the parking lot and burnt, amen. But you know what? Here's the thing. They were determined to get the job done. They didn't want that kind of preaching. And they didn't want the people that wanted that kind of preaching. So there came a day where Dad and that church had to separate. Because can two walk together except they be agreed? The only problem is they didn't just not want the preacher. They didn't want the people that the preacher had reached. And the phone began to ring over and over again in the weeks ahead to my dad saying, we've been booted out with you. What are we going to do? My dad said, I don't know. I'm praying. They'd call again. What are we going to do, preacher? We don't have a place to go. Finally, Bob Swaby. By the way, I've talked to Keith Swaby, and he's agreed to come to our 50th anniversary celebration week. His dad, Bob Swaby, Bob and Anita Swaby, he called Dad and said, why don't we just have church in my living room? He said, preacher, just come one Sunday. If God's in it, we'll know it. If he's not, we won't do it. But would you just, we'll clear out our living room and we'll just have church in our living room. And my dad said, I'll come one Sunday. And you know what? Bob Swaby got all excited. Thank God for rednecks. I love rednecks. Amen. Got on his tractor, went out in the woods. And you know what he did? He found a tree stump. He threw a chain around it. By the way, this is the cleaned up version of it. Keith Swaby sent me a picture of the original one that was used. This is the original stump, but the condition it was in on that first Sunday. Oh, I can't wait to show you those two pictures. There was moss growing out of it. There was all of these roots and dirt, and there was mushrooms growing off the side of it. And when Dad was preaching that Sunday morning, he kept slapping the pulpit, and everybody thought he was excited. He wasn't. He was killing ants because they were climbing up, coming across his Bible as he's preaching. But he went out, and he found a stump, and he cut it out, and he made a pulpit of it. And you know what? My dad didn't know he was doing it. He showed up that first Sunday. And you know what? He walked into Bob Swaby's living room, and there was 34 people sitting there in that living room looking back at the door waiting for the preacher to come. Preach to us, preacher. You said you'd preach from an old tree stump. Well, we got you one. Preach the Bible. Preacher, just be true to the book. It doesn't matter who says what, who's happy, who's sad, whose toes get stomped on. It doesn't matter, preacher. We want to hear the book. My dad looked in and he saw that pulpit. He walked up behind it, laid his Bible down. And you know what? That first service was the first service of the Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Jasonville, Indiana. And now we look around and think, what in the world has God done? Didn't all happen overnight, young people. What you come in and enjoy every single day, there was a whole generation that paid a great price. Sacrificed, visited, prayed. Come on now. When this land came available, they emptied bank accounts, sold vehicles, did whatever they had to do to keep the work of God going forward. Now that is your heritage. Why do we keep this pulpit around? Because every once in a while I want to bring it on the platform and talk about the wondrous works of the Lord. I want to remind you that God still blesses this old black book right here. And you know what? If we'll stay faithful to this book right here, God can do miraculous things. And you know what? We need to bring this out every once in a while to remind us all that, you know what? It's not about us. It's about Jesus. And instead of getting offended when the Bible gets in your tater patch, why don't we just go find an old-fashioned altar and get right with the Lord? Because a good church that preaches the Bible will help keep you right with the Lord and close to God. And you know what? If the pulpit's not ringing out against sin, and a lot of them have gotten quiet about it, especially certain ones that they say we can't mention anymore, you know what? When they start telling us that, we need to get louder about those sins, amen? And so what I'm saying is this, you know what? Here it is, 49th anniversary. And we recognize Brother Jerry Purcell. Thank you so much, my friend, for being here. We recognize someone who you're very familiar with because you watched him every week. We recognize one of our dear sweet ladies who you didn't see every week because she was tucked away in a classroom where nobody knew it except the teacher and the kids. But all around this room, there are adults in church that was in her class. And it doesn't matter whether God's called you to preach or lead singing or being a helper in Sunday school, whether or not he's called you to drive a bus or be a puddle jumper, run up and get the kids, It doesn't matter what he's called you to do. If it's open the back door and hand a bulletin to somebody and shake their hand and welcome them to the house of the Lord. There's no small jobs. And every one of those jobs are important to be able to take this thing forward, because I believe with all of my heart that God still has wondrous works ahead. I don't just say it when I say this. I know that God's given us a great history and a wonderful heritage, but I think the best days of Blessed Hope Baptist Church are ahead of us. And so, you know what I want you to do? I want you to join me tonight in praising the Lord. And committing to this idea of, preacher, not only am I going to praise the Lord, but I'm going to remind my children and my grandchildren, as God blesses our home, I'm going to remind them of the strength of the Lord and that we cannot do this in our own power. Listen, don't get proud. Don't get haughty. Listen, pride comes before destruction. Any good thing, it came from God, okay? But also, I'm not going to be quiet about the wondrous works of the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to quote the Bible. Say, preacher, when is a good day to be saved? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The best day to get saved is the day you realize you're lost. You fall under Holy Spirit conviction, realize that you are not good enough and never will be, no matter what good works you think you've performed. The Bible says even our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. You know what? If we see ourselves as that sinner that Christ died for us, realizing that, you know what, our only hope is in Christ. He died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. You know what? That's how a person is saved. If you're here tonight without Jesus Christ as your Savior, we want to extend that salvation invitation to you. Listen, we need a generation. By the way, I want to say this to our older generation. You're important here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You say, preacher, I can't do what I used to do. No, but you can talk about what you used to do, and you can tell what you used to do, and you can tell what God did through it. You can be a cheerleader for the next generation that can. And you know what? We have senior saints, and I want you to know how important you are. We have middle-aged adults, and you're important to the Lord. What an important time of your life. And we have young adults starting families, and we have singles that are waiting for God's perfect will for their life, and we have teenagers that are growing up in those difficult years but staying true to the Lord. And we have children, and go back in the nursery, we got a bunch of babies. The Lord's been so good to us. Every generation needs to hear the gospel. Every generation needs to hear about the wonderful works of the Lord. Let's give the Lord praise and glory tonight. Heavenly Father, bless our time of invitation. And Lord, it's so good to be able to be allowed to be a co-laborer with you, that you would include us in the process, that you would allow us to have a front row seat to watch you perform miracles. And Lord, that then you would reward us according to our labors. Lord, we're humbled by that. Thank you, Lord, for what has been done. And Lord, tonight, thank you as we look forward to what will be done in the future. Lord Jesus, thank you for tarrying your coming. We would love to see you. You know the right time. You know when you're going to come. Lord, may we work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. May we be busy while we can. We pray these things in Jesus' name.